This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin with me, Tan Chung Han, and we have the top business stories of the day. We turn our attention halfway across the world to Washington, D.C., and President Donald Trump and his negotiations with Congress to pass his legislative agenda.
Well, you've got the House Republicans. So it looks like they have scored a win of sorts for President Donald Trump in their bill to overhaul Obamacare. It was a razor-thin margin, 217 votes for versus 213 votes saying nay.
Okay, so it's not a repeal and replace process. You're talking about reforming the existing Affordable Care Act.
Well, which is Obamacare, right? The Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, so
right?
It means not a. It hasn't been repealed as.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Because look, so this bill that's been passed, eventually it's got to make its way to the Senate, and already, you know, right after that decision was announced or the results were announced, you've got Senate Republicans, okay, both on the same sides, but you know, different parts of Congress on the Senate already saying, you know what, we are going to start with a clean slate. So markets are already pricing it, you know, significant or expecting significant changes to this bill before it even reaches the desk of President Donald Trump.
So how are market analysts viewing this is in terms of Trump's ability to deliver on the other dimensions of his legislative agenda? You spoke to Tim Mulholland just now, who's in Chicago. What's the mood there about this?
Well, at least in Tim's eyes, the idea was that, okay, with this win, however you quantify it or to what extent, that remains in doubt. But this win, nonetheless, you know, kind of gets the monkey off of Trump's back. You know, so yes, he's got that first legislative win. You know, he can pat his back on that. And hopefully that momentum will then translate into his other initiatives, be it tax reform, you know, immigration, et cetera, right? Or NAFTA, whatever, right? Trade. So I think that's the sentiment here. But if you look at, say, healthcare stocks specifically in the U.S., initially, in the lead up to yesterday's vote, in U.S. time, yesterday's vote, it actually saw a decline. But when news broke that, hey, guess what, this bill might actually undergo some massive changes, then you saw healthcare stocks in the U.S. then picking back up again. So you've got that kind of movement in markets. You've got that kind of expectations in the political realm. But let's bring it back to Main Street, because now the initial forms of this bill that was just passed by a House Republicans. Initially, it stood to leave about 24 million Americans uninsured. You know, previously they were insured under the Affordable Health Care Act. You know, now, you know, well, under previous iterations of the deal, they stood to lose out. But then I'm not sure how the details will be moving forward, whether that 24 million will still have coverage or not.
What about other news coming out of the U.S. that actually is going to affect global markets, including us here in the emerging markets?
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, we got to look at April non-farm payrolls in the U.S. That's due out tonight at 8:30 p.m. Malaysian time. Now, according to the Bloomberg Surveys median estimate, 190,000 jobs were added last month. Now, just to give you a comparison, 190,000 jobs are expected to be added in April versus just about 89,000 to 90,000 jobs added in March. So that's quite a significant rebound there. Now, why do we care about this? Because this could be the latest indicator of the strength of the world's largest economy, right? You know, a stronger U.S. economy could translate into higher demand for imports, you know, higher global demand, could be a boon for Malaysian exports, you know, our products, right? Also, if these non-farm payrolls come in stronger, that could set the tone for, you know, whether the Fed, you know, wants to, or how many times they want to raise those U.S. interest rates this year. Markets are saying too, you know, and so we have already seen how the Fed kind of ignored the weaker numbers that it saw out of the U.S. economy for the first quarter of this year. GDP growth only at 0.7%. You know, consumer spending came off as well. You know, so they are willing to ignore that to try to, you know, make sure that their path or their monetary policy remains intact. If you look at markets, there's already expectations of about a 90% chance that the Fed will raise interest rates next month.
What about news coming out of China? Do we track it as much? We had the news yesterday that the PBOC says that deals that China is doing in its belt and port, you know, kind of infrastructure initiative has to be done in local currencies. They don't want to use U.S. currencies. Is that changing anything? I mean, is there a sense that this is going to change the dynamic between China and the economies now kind of tethered to it?
Well, it's interesting because, yeah, you do have market commentary now saying, you know, essentially from the 2008-2009 global financial crisis until now, China has really taken over and really stepped up in terms of propping up global economic growth, right? And the idea is that now China has exhausted all of its options, right? The onus is now on the U.S. economy. Hey, you got to get your act together and you got to step in now as China kind of pulls back. You know, you see those capital controls, you know, you see the, you know, well, there's the expected restructuring in President Xi Jinping's cabinet and his key decision makers and his team there during the Communist Party meeting slated for the fall of this year, I believe. So yeah, you've got that sense of markets shifting, but nevertheless, I think it's still important to note that, you know, China will remain a very, very important part of the global economy, obviously.
Yeah, just a quick correction there. It's called the One Belt, One Road Initiative. Oh. I mangled it a bit just now. Moving to France, across the Atlantic from Washington, D.C., to France, where we've had the last debate, I believe, before the French voter goes to the polls on Sunday. Markets, of course, perhaps reassured that polls are showing Macron way ahead in at least in the opinion polls. Though, you know, a lot of doubt has been cast about opinion polls,
exactly,
you know, since the debacles over Trump and over the Brexit vote. But is that true of France today in this particular election?
Well, you know, I guess, if you look at this one poll here, you know, 62% vote for Macron when surveying potential voters in the 18 to 24-year-old range. Range, right, so obviously more in favor for Macron because of the potential jobs and the kind of policies that he has, the more centrist platform that he runs on, right? But I think, again, going back to Tim's comments there, I essentially, you know, you would think that we have learned our lessons from Brexit and Trump, and hopefully, you know, markets have plenty of more time to digest these French election results, you know, given the recent debates and also the first round of votes that were cast a couple of weekends ago, right? So there is a bit more surety about the integrity of these poll results, but it is still a big, big risk.
I mean, jobs are central to populist platforms any
Certainly.
Part of the world. Macron, interestingly enough, has promised to cut 120,000 jobs from the French bureaucracies, trying to tighten that up. So that's an unusual message to give somebody who wants to get votes. You say 100,000 people, 120,000 people to be exact, are going to lose their jobs. He's also, though, promising to invest in retraining and such. But there must be a lot of trepidation among the civil service in France, thinking they might have their heads on the guillotine.
Well, but for the larger I see what you did there. But for the larger populace there, you know, it's about, you know, cutting down fiscal spending, right? So reducing the footprint of the government. And hopefully those funds, or at least you've got more power to the people, basically. The private sector can then step up. That's the idea here. You know? But nevertheless, I think jobs, especially, you know, for those in the 18 to 24-year-old range in France, is certainly, you know, at the top of the agenda, and I'm sure they'll be taking that to the polls with them on May 7th.
Okay, Tim Mahalan says a Le Pen win is unlikely, but you did ask him for scenarios. Says, how will the markets respond, Macron versus a Le Pen win?
Yeah, you know, I mean, just looking at French stocks right now, they have hit a 9-year high yesterday, you know, again, riding on the expectation that Macron will actually become the next president of France. And so you've got a lot of commentary in the news outlets now, CNBC, for example, saying that how, you know, if Macron wins, this could really change the tone at the ECB, that's the European Central Bank level. And I think it's fair to say also that's going to be across the board. Many central banks across the world will be keeping an eye on this result from May 7th, because so often we have heard statements from central banks citing geopolitical concerns coming out of the European story, right? So you've got that. Also, it says that a Macron victory is the most market-friendly scenario. You know, banks in particular, they could stand to benefit, you know, if Macron wins come Monday.
Okay, also looking at commodities, let's look at very quickly at metals.
So metals have been coming off there. So they've been getting a hammering, and it's not just copper, iron ore, as well as even crude oil prices, although they're not metals, but commodities in general. So the idea here is that there, well, the concern here is that there appears to be some waning demand in China for, you know, steel, iron ore, perhaps due to some pullback in spending for infrastructure projects. So that's something that markets will have to keep a close eye on.
We'll be back with more business news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.